Well, good morning, Catalyst. How are you today? Hey, first, let me say a thanks to all the folks with Movies in the Park. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But just Hope and her team, man, what a great night. It was unbelievable just to get to meet so many different people in the community. And for us to be able to give that gift is really an incredible, wonderful thing. And I just want to thank all of you, because so many of you showed up early to help put up the screen. Some of you stayed afterwards to help take down the screen. And just greatly appreciate it. Hey, listen, I want to introduce just two couples to you today because I want you to know them. The first is right here on the right, Jeff and Debbie Janess, and they can just wave to you. Jeff is the CEO of Servant Solutions, which is really the financial means and takes care of pastors, to be honest with you, for the Church of God. And I don't say this lightly, probably maybe the most trusted man in the church. And well, he should be for the job that he has, right? Because I really want to trust him that way, I'll tell you. But what you don't know is Jeff's one of my accountability partners. And we meet almost every other week and with Jerry Fox. And we just get to pray and we get to talk with each other. We get to level with each other. And you want to know something, men? I promise you, it's been one of the greatest gifts of my life. And I think Jeff would say the same thing. And I want to encourage you to find those people that you can partner with that give us accountability and really motivate us and move us towards a faith. But I want you to know Jeff and Debbie. They're just great people. We love them to death. They're good friends. Would you help me just welcome them today? Now, there's another couple sitting beside them. They came in pairs today. Doug and Cindy Talley. Doug is the executive state pastor for Indiana. And heads up all of the Indiana ministry things. Cindy works there also. They're absolutely a team. But I'm going to tell you some of the finest people I've ever met. And I want to introduce them because Catalyst, we need to be involved with them. Because what we need to recognize is that we're part of something bigger than us, correct? It's the kingdom, and it's bigger than us. And I hope Doug and Cindy, as you know, Carl has worked with them and Valerie. But I want us to know that we're part of something that is larger in scope. And it's outside of these walls. And I hope that they won't be strangers here. I hope they'll always know that they have a place to come and be a part of this. These are just good people. Of course, Carl and Valerie are back home today, is what I told them when they walked in. So let's just thank them for being here. We're just glad. I want to give you a simple truth that's going to underline everything that I'm going to teach today, and it's this. God desires you and me. God desires you and me. God's intent for you and me is to live Christ-centered lives. You know, I looked over to Ellen last night as we were watching TV, and I said, you know what, because the Lord has really been speaking with in this week, I said, I'm not so certain that this may be one of the most important messages I ever speak at Catalyst. And it's only what? My fourth weekend. But I want to tell you why. As we go through this series of how to live like sent people, we're talking about the basic facets and tenets of our faith. Because there is a foundation that you and I must build upon, correct? And that is our faith in Christ. And today I want to teach about the Holy Spirit. And I'm not certain, I really mean this, I'm not certain if there's ever been a more confusing or underused, undertaught topic in the life of the church. Part of that is because sometimes people get off on tangents when we talk about the Holy Spirit, whether it be the gift of tongues or other things. And in some ways, we have to be careful, but what we've done is shied away from it. And I think we as leaders have to take some responsibility for that because we have not taught enough about it to give guidance on it and direction on it. And today, we want to be able to do that. And the reason that this is so critical is because, trust me when I say this, everything we do in this place and outside of this place in the name of Christ has to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. If not, it's just a very human endeavor. Francis Chan, who was a pastor out in California, has been a huge influence on the 21st century church. This is what he wrote. The church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not all we were made to be when everything in our lives and everything in our churches can be explained apart from the work and presence of the Spirit of God. You see, this is who we are. This is what informs us. This is what guides us. This is what directs us. We cannot be the church, and particularly, I believe, Catalyst, the church we want to become, and that sense of being missional outside of these walls, whether that be across the oceans or whether it be right here in Pendleton, What we've got to understand is that everything that we do has to be guided, directed, and empowered by God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us. You see, a missional congregation, a congregation that is on the move for Christ, for people that live like sent people, they have a deep understanding, they have a deep conviction, and I promise you this, they have a deep dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. And that's what we have to cultivate. If not, I promise you, all we're doing is taking very simple human hands and human feet into this community. And what we have to do is take something bigger than that, because I promise you that our community desperately needs a divine touch of God. And that is only found, only happens, through the power of God's Spirit working through you and me. So today we're going to talk about it. Let's spend some time in God's Word, and let's talk about who is the Holy Spirit and what does He do and how does He do what He does. The first one is this. Jesus says in John 14:15-16, He speaks to us about the coming of what He calls the Advocate. And He teaches us about what some of those roles are going to be. But He initially begins in John 14:16, and He says these words. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Advocate. Now notice what Jesus is saying. It's an addition to Him. Christ is our Advocate. We know that He sits at the right hand of the Father. But He says, I want to give you another Advocate. He is giving to His disciples, that's you and me, but particularly to those 11 that day, He is sharing with them, I want you to understand something. I'm going to be giving you something so that you will not be alone. Now listen to what Jesus said. I will ask the Father and He will give you another Advocate. And He wants to emphasize this. He says, who will never leave you. You see, Jesus gave us the Spirit. The word is paraclete. It literally means one who is brought into another's situation. It means it is one who walks alongside of us. Now I want you to know there's a singular notion of this with the Holy Spirit. That He has been given to us, that He has been invited into our lives and into our situation, and that He is one who walks alongside us. But what happens in that unction of this is there are different roles then that the Holy Spirit plays in mine and your lives as believers. And the first one He has already told us, it is that role of advocate. Now that role is one who testifies. It's literally the setting of a courtroom. And it means someone who has been brought into the courtroom to speak to the judge and the jury on behalf or on the favor of another. It's someone called into the room to plead your case. Now listen to Romans 8:26-27. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us, that's you and me, in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Any of you ever been there? He said, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. Doesn't that make you happy? To know that somebody is interceding for us, always speaking for us. Those times that we're trying to discern if there are which way we should go. Or God, how do we pray about this? God, I'm so confused. I'm struggling. You know, I think this. I believe this. But God, give me insight on how to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Now, I want you to know something. This is great news, because what it means for us is that you and I are never without an advocate before God, but it also means something else. Mine and your voice is never silent before the Lord. Think about that. Think about that. Those times when you've wondered if God heard you, those times in your life when you've struggled and you're weary and you're tired and you wonder if your prayers are even getting outside the roof of the building, I promise you this, your voice is never silent before the Lord. Hallelujah. You see what a gift that God has given us. He said, I'm going to give you another advocate, and He says those words, who will never leave you. Our voice is never silent because the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Now there's a second role that He plays. And is that of guide. John 16:13 says, and Jesus said, and when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now this is one who, if you will, gives advice or instruction or even acts as a guide in difficult or maybe confusing times. The Apostle Paul says in 8:14 that this is even part of our DNA as children of God. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You see, DNA defines you and me. There are certain, if you will, unique markings that we have in our DNA that uniquely make up who we are. And what Paul is saying is, children of God, this is uniquely a marking in our lives that we are going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now think about this, because this means every day what we do is acknowledge that Christ's presence is in us and He's there to help guide us. Listen, in the New Testament, this was one of the critical features about leadership in the church. In Acts 6:3, we find the church going through a little struggle. They've grown to a place that ministries have outgrown their capacity. We may see that before long. And listen to what they say. What is to be the unique markings of these people that we bring on in leadership? And so they said, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. You see, for those of us who are humbly chosen to give leadership in the life of the church, our wisdom has to come from beyond ourselves. And that's why you always hear people say, well, this person will be good on the board because this is what they do for a living. I want you to know, friends, that's not the qualifier that God looks for. Because God can take you in your heart and be able to use you in a way, but God wants to know, are you a person who is led and who is absolutely dependent on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit leading your life, but not only your life, but leading the church? You know, I was so glad and so impressed. We met this week as we looked to the future of this place and we realized that this building has been wonderful for us and we have to go through negotiations to talk about what the future will be for this place. And, you know, we had all this discussion. Then at the end, Nate, who's the chair of our board of elders, he just said, you know what, we can talk about all this, but here's the truth. God's going to have to lead us. And I want you to know, my heart soared. My heart soared. Because he led that. I didn't lead that. Nate led that. And I want you to know that's the kind of leadership that's in this place. And it's so important for us. You see, what we have to understand is that in the first 13 chapters of Acts, did you know the Holy Spirit's leading in the life of the church is mentioned over 40 times? Because the New Testament church was absolutely centered and based on the empowerment and the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is so important for us to understand that God guides us and directs us. I love Acts 13. It says, one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now notice this, there's an audible speaking that happens in your heart. And the church was dependent, but the church wasn't just dependent. The church had learned how to listen. And that's a process of growing in the guidance of the Lord. He said, then appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul, I love this phrase, were sent out by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what ruled the church. And here's the truth. You and I would not be here today if they had not listened to that call. We are the New Testament church. We are the church that has been born. Spirit lives in the Spirit, and the Spirit empowers us, guides us, speaks on our behalf. Finally, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Now, I want you to know, this word can kind of get lost in the sense of a counseling comforter. And at the base of it, it does mean one who walks alongside. It means one who's going through a difficult time. I like what one scholar said. He said, what this is the Holy Spirit who speaks encouraging words to a discouraged heart. But it's so much more than that. It's just not about this comforting role. It is literally about giving bravery to us. The word literally means that He's our strength and He is our strengthener. The Holy Spirit is mine and your strengthener, but He also does it for the church. Acts 9:31 says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers, living in reverence to the Lord. You see, when that great scripture that we know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, and what does it say? Who strengthens me? That is the word that it's talking about. That it is the Holy Spirit that calls us into ministry, but strengthens us for the ministry and strengthens us for our life. He is our encourager. He is our strengthener. He is the one who gives us times when we need to be brave. I mean, God graciously gave this of interceding on our behalf, of working in our behalf. And we all understand that God does this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to share just for a moment, because in some ways, the Holy Spirit is like a spiritual parent. I mean, think about this. How many of us walk alongside our children, sometimes to speak and intercede on their behalf? If we think in some ways they have been treated unfairly, or we think in some ways maybe it's a struggle that somebody needs to speak, that's what we do. There are times when you and I come alongside and we give guidance and direction. We don't just leave that to our children, but we give them that guidance. We give them that insight. We try to walk alongside them in a way to encourage them in that way. And then sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we have to give them strength. We have to give them bravery. We have to give them in some ways just this encouragement in those moments when it's so difficult, so hard. And that's exactly what God does for us as His children. He intercedes for us. He speaks on our behalf when you don't even know it. God is being spoken to on your behalf by the Holy Spirit, interceding what our hearts are saying to Him, what we're crying out. Sometimes we say, Lord, I don't even know what I'd pray. Just stop. Just move and let the Holy Spirit lead you in that. Sometimes there are those moments when we are in places and positions where we need God to strengthen us. We need God to comfort us. We need God to encourage us. And God's Word says that He does that in a relentless way. Now let's move to the place where we say, and how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, first and foremost, here's the deal. God's Holy Spirit lives in us. John 14:7 says, this is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him, and notice what the phrase is, nor knows Him. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. The Apostle Paul reinforces this over and over in his writings. Galatians 2, my old self has been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And he says, so I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know, Paul asks, that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? You see, it's this continuing, abiding presence, literally, that makes Jesus a 24-hour-a-day reality for us. It means that we can't go a place, that we can't hear Him, that we can't receive Him, that we can't even respond to Him all during the day. That's the kind of openness, and that's the kind of connection that we have to Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one thing that we have to know, and Jesus said it to us when He says, or you know Him. It means to have an intimate relation. When Peter speaks the great sermon that he spoke in Acts 2, following the Pentecostal act, listen to what he says. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then, he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do we have the Holy Spirit? We have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it's the rock of foundation that we found every Sunday as we teach on these basic tenets of the faith. They come back in reality and in need to a relationship to Christ, right? And so that's what we find even for this. Our lives are different because of the abiding presence. And it begins with a personal relationship. The Holy Spirit abides in us and something takes place. Our lives begin to be different. And this is the reason. Because God's Holy Spirit is the one who helps mature us in our faith. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. How many of you have an iPhone? How many of you ever use your calendar? Here's the wonderful thing about this iPhone. If you have put something, if you have calendared something in your phone before and you need to recalendar it, it will pop up when you first begin writing it. And what Jesus is saying here is, believe it or not, you, the Holy Spirit is kind of like your iPhone in your heart. He says, I will remind you of the things you have studied. I will remind you of the truth that has been spoken into you. I will pull that into your hearts. How many of you have been at a place where you needed some assurance and God brought to you a truth in your life that had been grounded in you? That's the Holy Spirit pulling from what has been taught us, given to us, and enables us to have that presence on a continual basis. John 16, 12 through 14 says, and when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. You see, the Holy Spirit, when it says, will teach you everything, it literally means that God, through His Spirit, is going to fix these things in your heart and in your mind. That's why Scripture memorization is such an important part of becoming a disciple. Because as we hide those things in our hearts, they're not lost. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where to pull from and to pull those up and to give us those words of truth when we desperately need them. I love 1 Corinthians 2 when it says, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the spirit of the world, but God has given us a spirit who is from Himself, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And that is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Friends, aren't you glad today to know that you and I have help in growing in our faith? I mean, sometimes, especially when you're a new believer, it seems overwhelming. It seems, in some ways, can I grasp this, Lord? I know the miracle that's taken place in me. I know, Father, that You've forgiven my sins. But, God, I need to understand grace more. I need to understand redemption more. God, I need to understand what the cross means and why does it matter so much. And here we find in the Word of God saying, as Jesus tells us, I want you to know, you're not alone. You're not going to be set apart from me. I'm going to help you grow in this journey. And that's what the Holy Spirit does inside us. It helps nurture us. It helps mature us. It helps ground us. It helps us and enables us to walk with Christ in a way that's going to change our lives and make a profound difference. And you see, our spiritual growth is directly related to the investment that we give to it. You know, at this time of year, the tomato plants are thinning out. And I remember a short time ago, we were stepped over to our neighbor's yard, and the neighbor said, do you want some tomatoes? I said, you still have tomatoes? I said, man, we don't have any. He said, yeah, we sure do. And I walked over. I'm telling you, this thing is loaded with these huge, lush, ripe tomatoes. I said, how in the world do you do this? He said, oh, had his own little place for him. He said, I went and bought some very, very, very good organic soil. And then I found some very, very good compost material. And then I found a special fertilizer for my tomato plants. And I feed my plants once a week. And I looked over to our house. Two little pitiful. Two little scrawny plants with four little tomatoes, not big as golf balls. And I looked at Ellen and I said, I want you to know something's going to be different next year. I'm not going to plant any plants because Joe's got enough for all of us. Hey, I want to tell you, you and I reap what we sow, but here's the deal. We also reap what we invest. And when we're talking about growing in our faith, how important it is. We talked last week when we finished up talking about golf and my great inadequacies in golf. And we talk about golf being a hobby, but faith is our life. You see, when Jesus comes in to live in us and to reside in us, I hope that it gives us a different sense of how important faith is, if it's important enough for the Savior of the world to live in mine and your hearts. And that deserves an investment. That deserves a response to that great gift given to us. For you and I to take a hold of the benefits that God has graciously given us through the works of His Holy Spirit, I promise you, it will depend on mine and your willingness to invest and grow in our faith. And all of this is a process, and this is what it is, because we have to put ourselves, in teachable places. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit begins to gain traction. And the response is that we see life transformation. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. He said, this is the kind of change that we need to start seeing in our lives. It's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's kindness, and it's goodness, and it's faithfulness, and it's gentleness, and it's self-control. And I promise you, if marriages would just focus to say, these are the kind of fruits we're going to develop in our marriages, marriages would be transformed. And Paul goes on to say, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross, and they have crucified them there. Since we, Paul says, are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In John 16, Jesus tells us something that's going to be a part of that. He said, and when the Spirit comes, He will convict the world of its sin. You see, conviction is a part of transformation. This word goes back to the courtroom. The word conviction means that we're being cross-examined. It means we're being asked questions. And what we find out in Jesus' words is we compare this to righteousness and justice. And what Paul is saying, because sometimes when we talk about conviction, we associate this with great guilt, and that's not what it is. It's a process of assessment. It's a process of evaluation where God's Holy Spirit is working inside us, and as we hear spiritual truths and we read the Word and we hear godly teaching, suddenly how we're living is being assessed by God's righteousness that we're called to. And we begin to have some kind of turmoil inside us because we realize, oh, you know what? I'm not sure I can keep doing this and follow Christ. And what He does then is it takes us to this place, and we use a word, and we sometimes shy away from it. It's called repentance. But this is what repentance means. Repentance means that you and I come to some assessment of our lives and realize that the place that we're walking to is not the direction we ultimately want to end. And so we turn around and walk back to God. And Jesus says that a part of that process is the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings in mind in your hearts. As we begin to assess and we begin to evaluate, and we begin to make decisions. And in simple truth, it's this. The input taking place inside us should be changing and altering the output of our actions and our lifestyle. It's a simple process of input and output. And then finally, this brings us to a place that we have to talk about. Because all of this is only made possible for one reason. And that is that it is dependent on the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Now that word power, many of you know, is the word dunamis. It is the word that we get dynamite from. And it means to have power without limit. You see, there's a supernatural aspect to the Holy Spirit. There's a supernatural aspect to God's power working in us and through us. In truth, friends, it was out of this supernatural power that the day of Pentecost even happened, that the church was birthed. says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames and tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. And they were completely amazed. And this is what they said: how can this be? Only one reason. It is by the supernatural power of God that God enabled them to speak languages so that they could tell others in their own language about the good news of Jesus. You see, there's always been a supernatural element to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as we said earlier, sometimes we as believers have kind of shied away from this. And I understand it's because some folks have taken this as a tangent and made this their only banner of faith, that if you don't have this or a certain gifting in this, then you really don't have the Spirit. But I want to tell you, and in some ways that's caused division in the life of the church. But here's the truth. We who come from a holiness Wesleyan root, we're very comfortable with our understanding of who we are and what practices we engage in as it pertains to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, for us, we don't exercise some of those gifts in worship. We see them as gifts, certainly, but we see them as gifts that people use in their prayer closets and in their own private times of prayer. And we're comfortable with our practice and understanding of this. And here's the good thing. We don't take issue or be critical of those who choose to exercise their gifts in other ways in the worship experience. Listen, friends, some of my best friends in the faith are folks who do this. But that's not me. And I'm at peace with this, and this church is at peace with that, because we have an understanding of how we believe God has called us to respond to that. But this is the key. Now please hear me, because there's a but coming, okay? But what you and I must never do is to limit the Holy Spirit to mine in your human limitations of capacity and ability. Because when we take God and His power out of the equation, and when we make all of this solely about mine and your capacities and our strengths, that, my friends, is not in any way, form, or fashion what the Bible teaches. D.L. Moody said, there's no use in running before you're sent. And there's no use in attempting to do God's work without God's power. J.I. Packer said, the Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual, ethical, devotional, relational, the upsurging in worship, the outgoing in witness, it's all based on the supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from Him, not only do we have no lively believers and no lively congregations, there'll be no believers and no congregations at all, because Packer understands this, friends, where you and I are, is dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we come to this place on Sunday morning, it's got to be with a sense that we understand that God knows this too. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4. We now have this shining light in our hearts. That's Jesus. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And this makes it clear to us that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. You see, God understands He's the source. He just wants you and me to understand that He is an unlimited source. And that who we are and what we are as the church is totally dependent on that. And you see, so many times God opens the door for us. Let's be honest. He puts us in positions, or He gives us opportunities to step forward. And sometimes we shrink back from those because we know in and of ourselves, we just simply don't have what it takes to do what's been called of us. But my friends, you and I, we just can't shrink back. Because it is the moment that we shrink back that we don't allow God to use us, to make Himself known, to prove His strength and His power, When we step out in faith, God meets us with His faithfulness. When we answer that call, God meets us there with everything we will ever need to fulfill that calling. You see, God's intent and design is to grow the church through human beings like you and me. But what we've got to understand is that it's bigger than us. And at every place, every moment, we must understand that it is God's supernatural power working through us. Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what does He say? You will have power to be My witnesses. That's not about handing out tracts. It's about everything that we do to further the gospel and to give His kingdom prominence. I'm going to give you a for instance. I thought movies in the park was fantastic, but I want to ask you this question. When you went to the park that night, did you go to watch a movie, or did you have a belief that God could use you to literally touch another person's life for Him? Because you see, it's a totally different factor. If it's just to watch a movie, it's nothing but a human endeavor. But if it is a belief that we take God's Spirit with us wherever we go and His power is available to us and that there are people there who don't know Him and we can build relationships with, do we believe that God can use us in that moment? Yes, we do. Because friends, we're the church. And that's how the church functions. And that's what the church lives by. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and discipline." You see, my friends, what we've got to understand is that we may be simple human beings, but we are empowered by a conquering and a resurrected Christ. And it's that resurrection power that we live in. I want to share with you one of my dreams in life. I want to purchase a 1974 Chevy Nova Super Sport. Because I had one as a senior in high school. 350, 4-barrel, 4-speed, thrush-out siders on the side, rear shocks. Yes, I was a redneck. But I drove a bad car. I want you to know. And when I find one, I understand, when I find one from 1974, I realize it's going to be a rust bucket. It's going to have dents and a whole lot of imperfections. And I realize that I'm probably going to need to restore it from the bottom up and from the inside out. And I also realize that at some point, I'm going to have to call in a master who understands the workings of it better than I do. And who has the tools and the capacity to do what I just simply can't. And I also understand that this kind of restoration work is not overnight, but I've got to commit to it for the long haul. But I want you to do something with me. I want you to imagine the first time Roland Daniels sits in that restored vehicle and cranks it up. And pulls it out of the garage and steps on the gas a little bit like he used to do when he was young. And hear that engine purr. And amazing how beautiful it's going to be when you can see it restored to its original intent and original condition. You see, that is how God looks at you and me. Now let's be honest. Sometimes He finds in some of us, old rust buckets. Some of us have dents and broken parts that life and its journey have left us with. All of us have some places that have to be sanded. All of us have some places that are going to have to be refinished to kind of get the luster back. But imagine, just imagine if you will, what could happen in the Master's hand. Imagine what would take place if the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, set up shop in our hearts and began working day and night to restore us to that intent, that original condition that He ultimately designed us for. Just imagine the transformation that could take place. Just imagine the redemption and the renewal that could happen with broken hearts and broken lives. Oh, my friends, just imagine if God put Himself inside us to work all the time. Because the truth of the matter is, that's not a dream. That's God's reality for you and me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us. God takes up residence inside us. God desires to live out of that power every day in you and me. We are not alone. We are not without Him. We never reach a place that His voice can't touch us because He's right there with us. And oh, church, imagine, church, if we started living like that every day for Jesus. And every moment we saw as an opportunity to take the good news out of this place. Just imagine for our friends and our neighbors and our family who don't know Him and I promise you are lost without Him. Just imagine what God can do. And Catalyst, that's what I believe for this place. That's why I believe this teaching is critical for us. Because I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is that which must take us, guide us, encourage us, strengthen us, give us bravery when we need it. That's what the church is going to have to be the church in today's culture. And we can do it. I want to close with a prayer. Father, we ask You to pour Your Spirit out on this place, upon our hearts and our lives. Jesus, take up residence inside us and empower us, God, to start living life in the way You desire us to. Transform our homes, God. Transform our marriages. Transform our jobs as we start looking at them differently. And Jesus, we just ask this simply in faith because we believe Your promises are true and we also believe that You keep Your promises. And so we pray this in the name of Your Son who saved us, who continues to transform us, whose Spirit lives in us, and who we are totally, absolutely, without reservation, dependent upon. And all God's people said, amen and amen.